Before you turn to the book of Romans chapter number 10 this morning, book of Romans chapter number 10. I'm going to begin reading this morning, verse number 1, Romans chapter number 10, and begin reading in verse number 10. Verse number 1, excuse me, down to verse 17. Let's begin, first of all, by having prayer. Father, thank you for what you have allowed in our lives. Lord, I thank you this week for those who gathered with me on the hillsides and heard the word of God over and over. I thank you for those back here who prayed for us and kept things going. And I ask, oh God, that you might work this morning. Father, we always need you. We always need your word. We come to you today, oh God, begging you to speak to us. And oh God, to use us, that you would be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved." Now consider that this morning, because the Apostle Paul, whom God used to pen this, was a Jew. But he was the one who was sent to the Gentiles. And often we think of Peter as the apostle to the Jews and Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles. And yet we find here that he has a great desire for his people to come to know the Lord as their Savior. He says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Oftentimes people, they want to do, they want to be, and yet they are really ignorant. That's what it says in verse 3. "For being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Interesting text. "Did not know his, but yet seek to display theirs." And it doesn't work. We must submit to his. Amen. Sometimes we think, well, I can get saved if I do this. There are those who believe if they partake with what we call communion, that will save their soul. There are those who believe that if they're baptized, that will save their soul. There are those who believe if they give to the church, that will save their soul. But my Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." And by the way, he says, "That not of yourselves, a gift of God." And we must submit to that. Verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe." I thank God for that. He's the end. That's where we can find it. "For Moses describeth the righteousness which of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead?" It's not about us bringing this about. It's about the fact that he came to this world, he died for us, and he arose again. Notice verse 8, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Then if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead," read that, "thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." We put our trust in him. Like Cassandra told me the other day, we want to shout it from the housetop. There is something that changes in the life. "For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Notice that, by the way, brethren. It doesn't say might be. It doesn't say could be. It's a written fact, shall be. Okay? And if we believe that, that brings salvation. If we believe that, we will call. But notice verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by what, brethren?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. Verse 17 is my text today. And my question is, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? I believe faith, to believe, will not come by any other means than hearing. We must hear it. Faith is believing who is speaking to you. If I today would say, hey, listen, if you will come up here, I will give you $500. I said if. I had one moving back here. Most you'd say, I don't believe you would. If I said, if you came up here, if I said you came up here, I give you a dollar, most would believe that. What's the difference? They believe in my willingness, in my ability. They would accept that. Hearing must be a choice. It is something we choose to do. Have you ever heard of selective hearing? Oh, yeah. Husbands and wives, they accuse each other of that a lot of times. And even if you don't have hearing aids that you can turn off and off, people just turn off. But we're not going to get saved unless we hear. You see, the Bible says, for whosoever believeth on him. How are we going to believe, it says there, unless we hear it? How are we going to hear it if somebody doesn't preach it? Okay. And so today I say, who are you listening to? Hearing, I believe, is very, very essential to the gospel. Matter of fact, I believe that hearing requires a response. There are some that you talk to and they don't respond. And you would say, they didn't hear me or they didn't want to hear me. But I believe that hearing requires a response. Go with me to Book of Mark, please. Book of Mark, chapter number 4. And let's notice something here. Book of Mark, chapter number 4. And we find here a parable. This parable is given in other places in the Word of God. But notice chapter number 4. Go down with me to verse number 3. In verse number 3, Jesus is speaking. He says, hearken. That means listen. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on good or stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched and became, because it was had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Notice what he says. And he said to them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they were about him with the 12, asked him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? So now he's going to give them understanding of this parable. And notice what he says, the sower soweth the word. The sower is a good sower. Matter of fact, I believe it's representative of God. In fact, I believe that if we can take it a little bit farther, it's also of God's representatives. The sower soweth the word. And so the word is the seed. That seed is a perfect seed. And notice then, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Interesting here, but we find those by the wayside. I believe we could describe them as those who are, can we say, indifferent. Oh, they hear it, but they're not really interested. They're indifferent to it. It doesn't really matter to them. I would say to you that in every service there are folks like that. They come, they sit, they walk out, and maybe even say it wasn't that good, and I don't even know what they refer to, and neither do they. Just indifferent to the whole thing. Notice as you go on, in verse number 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, and by the way, it will. It doesn't say if, it says when. It says they are offended. Interesting as we look there, for here we find on the stony ground are those whom we might describe as very impulsive. They have emotion. And it talks to them, and perhaps a story grips their heart, but they really do not listen to what the story is trying to teach them. They don't really have their heart in it. It's just the emotion. There is a difference. He goes on and says in verse number 17, verse 18, this and these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. We have the wayside, an indifferent listener. We have the stony ground, an impulsive listener. Impulsive for a moment, and then it's gone. Here's the thorny ground, and this is one that is infested with the worldly cares. All the things round about them are so much more important, and thus they do not allow the Word of God to enter into their heart. There are those who sit in a church service, and as they're sitting there and they're hearing the Word of God, if there's the least little distraction, that's where their attention goes. If a baby cries, or somebody clips their fingernail, or even worse, their toenail, they are, what, thrown off course. But we notice lastly, in verse number 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, excuse me, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. This good ground, we find, are those who are ideal in their listening. And the Lord Jesus, as he gives this parable to us, this illustrative story, he's trying to teach us something. That is, when we hear, we need to respond properly. We need to allow God to speak to us. One of the great things about camp, I believe, is this. We go to the hillside, and we spend a couple hours out there. We go to the tabernacle, we spend another hour, unless Jimmy talks. We go in the evening time, and we spend another hour, or maybe we could say two, and we're hearing the Word of God over and over and over again. After a while, it gets very difficult to tune it out. But there are those who do. And we must remember that God wants us to hear. The sower is God, and the seed is of highest quality, But what kind of ground does it fall upon? Now, here's a marvelous thing about this sower. He's going to put it everywhere so all have opportunity for it. But what kind of soil are you? In other words, what kind of listener are you? Hearing requires a response of some sort. I believe also that listening will produce something in our lives. In our text, in verse number 17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. From our text, we know that faith that saves us from our sin is brought about because we hear, because we listen. One of the things I've noticed in a service, it's very evident sometimes at camp when you get a lot of young people together, that there are those who are not listening. And preachers and speakers do all sorts of things to try to get folks' attention. Sometimes they do theatrical things and jump around. Sometimes they wave their hands. Sometimes they say, listen up! What's the idea? Because we are a people that do not listen as we ought to. But when we listen, it can bring about a faith in our lives. Many years ago, I was wanting my faith to grow. And I came to Romans 10:17, and I read there, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What I recognized from that verse was this, that right after I got saved, I got into a very good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Matter of fact, my pastor, Dr. Tom Malone, was considered one of the greatest pulpiteers ever in our country. And I got to hear him Sunday after Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I had to work Wednesday night, but in chapel times throughout the week. And I learned something as I stopped and thought about that verse, and that is, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not only faith that saves, it's faith that helps us to live afterwards. It's faith that takes us on down the road. It's faith that helps us to live, not just get saved. At camp, most distractions are eliminated. Speak it often enough and long enough, people will finally hear. And that's why Sunday after Sunday, service after service, we say some of the same things over and over again. But listening produces. It will produce a faith. But I find something else that listening will produce. When you go to the book of Proverbs, we find that wisdom is a product of listening. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. Young folks, if you fear your dad today, when he speaks, you listen. Amen? Yeah. Fathers, if you exert authority in your family, when you speak, they will listen. Isn't that not true? And so when we come to the things of God, and as He speaks from His Word, wisdom begins to take shape in our lives. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Respect of God will give you a listening ear. Hearing requires a response. Listening will produce some things in our lives. So I ask the question this morning, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? I would ask young people today, do you listen to your parents? But I'd also go conversely and say, parents, do you teach your children to pay attention and give them good stuff? By the way, parents, time out. Let's take a moment to think about this. Parents need to teach their kids how to pay attention. You don't do it turning on the television set. You do it by talking to them. You do it by eliminating some of the other distractions. And perhaps even testing them by saying, what did I just say? We need to be a people who are teaching our children how to listen. I would say, secondly, do you listen to your pastor? Or are they just words that are soon forgotten? God didn't put me here just to stand up and speak some things in a morning service, to come back Sunday night and just say a few words. But they're there for a purpose. And it requires a response. Too often we blow it off. Too often we forget it because we're really indifferent. Too often it doesn't really make sense to us, and we become impulsive and we jump out and then jump back. And far too often in this society of ours, we are infested with the cares of this world. Matter of fact, the cares of this world seem to even keep us from listening to the pastor. Keep folks from being in the house of God that they might hear those kinds of things. Is listening important? Yes, it is. Who are you listening to? I didn't say what are you listening to. Who are you listening to? There are some of you who like good books. There are some of you maybe like bad books. Books can be good, they can be bad. But do you allow God to use those to speak to your heart? There are a few television shows. I'm not sure where you find them, but they have some good things. But who are you listening to? By the way, parents, because it says Disney, don't believe it's good. They've become promoters of homosexuality. Who are you listening to? When it comes to music, who are you listening to? What is it that gets into your mind? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What's interesting about that is this. God takes his word, puts in our ears. It goes into our minds. And if we allow that to infill our trait, our minds, it changes our hearts. And when our hearts are changed by the word of God, then we find that our actions also are changed. Now, as has been mentioned already today, you can make your actions because you don't want people to think you're not good to be good. But where's the heart? Where's the mind? Who are you listening to? Every day, who do you listen to? Do you listen to God? We have Bibles. Most of God's people in this day and age have more than one, maybe two or three. And they have them here and there. But what is very sad about it is that most of them are not opened. Most of them collect dust. I've actually gone to homes and said, do you have a Bible? And they say, wait a minute, I'll see if I can find it. And honestly, I remember one time it took 10 minutes and they came out and said, here it is. I said, have you ever been saved? Oh, yeah. Really? We need the Word of God day after day. Not just from others, but from God directly. We need to listen to Him. We need to stop and think about what has He said. Seriously. Let me ask you another question. Don't answer it out loud. Are you a worrier? Are you a worrier? I'm sure in this room, many are worriers. Worry about this, worry about that, worry about the other thing. I think that most stress today comes as a result of worry. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate upon God's Word. When you lay awake at night and you're thinking about that thing over and over and over and wondering how it's going to come out and wondering what should I do tomorrow, and you lay there and you lay there and it goes over and over and over again, why don't we do that with God's Word? I've had people say to me, "Preacher, how do you get out of that scripture what you preached?" You got to stop and think about it, and think about it, and ask yourself, how does this apply to me? What can this do in my life if I put it into practice? Who are you listening to? I believe it becomes very important. Faith comes by what? And hearing by what? Okay. So we understand something. We must hear the Word of God. Now we can hear it through our eye gate. We can hear it through our ear gate. But we must allow it to come into our hearts. It's His Word that will change you. My Bible says that His Word will cleanse us. That's interesting. He calls it the water of the Word. It has an ability to do that. And what you young people and those that were with us this week experienced was that over and over and over. Do you know that that can happen this week as well? That can take place day after day after day. Who are you listening to? By the way, the decision is yours. As the decision was to go to camp, is your decision as well tomorrow morning to say, "God, I'm listening." And open that Bible and allow Him to speak to your heart. I have found something. I have a ridiculous schedule for reading the Bible through. I have found on some occasion just reading to get done with that particular day's goals. It takes me nearly a half hour to 45 minutes every day to do that. But the one thing that is needful is every day to read to where God opens something in my heart and stop and consider and think about it. I read my Bible not from a leather book any longer. I use an iPad. The particular app that I have, and the reason I like to use it is because I can enlarge that thing to where I can see it. And on that particular one, all I got to do is take my little pen and touch it, and a little window will pop up, and I can type in a note. And so if God has spoken to me on something, and I begin to just stop and think about it, and you know, like the cow chew the cud and write some things down. Teenagers, you kept notes this week. It's the same thing. It's from your daily reading of the Word of God. Amen. If you're on Facebook and have this young lady right over here, what is your name, Sarah? Almost every day she posts something that God has blessed her with. Many times has something that, to say about it and has the verse of Scripture there. I don't often say much, but I thank you so much for that. What are you listening to? Or should I say, who are you listening to? Hearing requires a response. Listening will produce. It will produce wisdom in your life. But most importantly, it will produce a wisdom that believes God and brings about salvation and sanctification. It will steer your course. God wants us to listen to Him. Let's pray. Father, I would, God, today that I had eloquence like Apollos. But Spirit of God, You're the one who must move hearts no matter what the speech might be. You're the one who needs and must reach down into our hearts as we hear the words of God, as we hear the words of the preacher, as we hear the words of parents, that we respond to them. That we seek to follow those things that are said. we allow it to produce in our lives a faith and a wisdom. Oh God, today I pray that we'd be a people who are willing to listen to you and to listen to you through those that you have placed in our path. Oh God, today, so often we're deaf. So often we're like some of these soils, some of these listeners. We're impulsive. We're indifferent. That have their cares in this world. Oh God, I pray that you would help us to rid ourselves of those things and to become that good soil. For then we find there's a harvest. We have a heart to reach out to others and multiply ourselves. God, work in our hearts. I don't know the needs here this morning, but Lord, I do believe that oftentimes we're not listening when you're speaking. Lord, if nothing else, that we would determine from this moment on to listen to you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.